Okay, Janine, here we go. We've gone over one main golf tip, and now we're on to tip number two. We're swinging better, and we touched on flexibility, mobility, and strength. So I'm going to throw it to you. What do you think of when we talk about that with the golf swing?
Yeah, strength and mobility is super important. And I think a lot of people try to go out and swing and have expectations of performance in their golf swing, in their golf game, that they might just not be able to quite achieve because they're lacking in maybe one of these categories. Of course, age is a huge thing, but that's the nice part about this stuff is it's applicable to everybody. Just a little bit of background. I personally work with a group. It's called Par for Success in North Carolina, but it's specifically focused towards strength training, but a lot of it has been mobility. And I will say, when I first started with them, my mobility was significantly worse than what it is right now. I saw huge improvements over just a few months of working with them and working through some mobility exercises that really impacted my range of motion and my swing and kind of the ability to unlock a little bit more speed, because obviously that's what I'm going for. But yeah, I mean, it's really opened my eyes to what room we have to improve on something as simple as mobility that every single one of us can work on.
Definitely. I 100% with the mobility. I used to just do my normal golf swing. And once I got into long drive, I started working with a long drive coach and he said I needed more turn. And I was like, really? Like, okay. Like, want to be more wild or more inconsistent or anything. And for the most part, I don't feel that way. I feel you gain so much more speed just by, in my mind, I really have to think about that twist and that turn. And so being able to have that really unlocks in your swing. And I think you touched on it with being able to get that stretch. And depending on the age, maybe you're young and you're kind of learning your body a little bit more. Maybe you're old and you don't have that. So I definitely think that being able to work on the mobility and the stretching, the flexibility, whether it be through yoga or working with a trainer and a professional, working at home, just doing specific movements, it's really important. I saw a chiropractor for a little bit and he gave me a bunch of movements where I needed to open my thoracic area. So doing a lot of those movements because that's what I specifically need. So really, it's talking to a professional, seeing what you need based on your swing, and then moving from there to incorporate that in your fitness or golf routine in general.
Absolutely. Well, and I've even found a ton of free resources, say on Instagram, Facebook, wherever, of individuals who do mobility specific things. And sometimes you can even find accounts that are focused on golf specifically. So you'll see some stuff to work on improving your hip mobility, improving your thoracic/spine, upper body turn mobility, and shoulder rotation. It's all important. So don't be afraid to use your resources for sure.
Yeah, doing that digging. And that's definitely one thing that I have gained or learned from long drive. And because everybody, when they think about hitting the ball farther, because that's what we're trying to do here, we've talked about hitting the ball better. We're talking about our strength and mobility. And then we're talking about, in our last segment, we're going to talk about getting that speed up. But really working on the strength and mobility, a lot of people like to focus more on the strength, but you do need that mobility aspect. So you're getting that stretch and that expansion in your backswing. But then when you're pulling down, that's the strength aspect and you really have to brace your body. And so they work together. You can't have one without the other. You can't just muscle it, get the big muscles and then just swing and hit the ball. If anything, the muscles, if you're not getting that pliability to them, you're going to totally constrict and actually make your body less available to stretching. That's kind of what you see. You think of like a big bodybuilder type, you know, they can't like reach a certain, that's what I think of and I imagine. So yes, you want that strength, but you want it for the golf swing. So yet again, you got free resources. You can go talk to a professional. You know, maybe you're just working with a trainer one time, you get a few movements and you go from there. But I think it really benefits you to work on the mobility and then working on your strength. And, you know, some key things with strength, I mean, Janine, you can go over studies and everything, but yet you think about your hips and using the ground forces, hips and legs and everything. Then the trunk power, we talked about the thoracic openers, and then grip strength. I know I've learned from you a little bit here about this grip strength and some strategies there. So I was just like, oh, wow, I didn't even think about that, but it's some really great information to learn from one another. So,
Janine, yeah, I mean, I've come across true scholastic studies that talk about a combination of leg strength, hip strength, with the inclusion of some plyometric work or mobility work, and pretty much across all age ranges, it has increased the participants' clubhead speed / ball speed. Now, granted, some of these studies have different ranges in terms of how long they do the workout program. It kind of seems to be between 8 and 12 weeks, and then between 3 or 4 days a week. But yeah, I mean, across the board, it's pretty much proving to have a positive impact on clubhead speed. So
that's great. That's great. Do you know from with us being professional long drivers, do you have any, I guess, core movements that you like to touch on when dealing with your golf swing?
Yeah, I mean, especially from a strength perspective, I personally train legs twice a week. So one day is a little bit more glute hamstring oriented and the other day is a little bit more quad oriented. And I feel like that's pretty standard with most strength programs if you are training legs a couple times a week. But lower body, that's where I hit. And then you still obviously have to have some strength in your arms and chest and back as well. So hitting exercises across the board there. And I mean, even from a plyometric perspective, it kind of just depends for me what we're working on or what phase that we're in regards to when I want to really push speed and when I want to get stronger. But I mean, incorporating plyometrics, which is jumps and throws and things like that, that just teach your body to move faster, all of it's going to have a positive impact on clubhead speed for sure.
Definitely. No, I'm glad you mentioned the plyometrics aspect. I feel like I've worked with a trainer this last year. He's a friend. And then I've actually added on another Rip Academy. Ripstick is a Minnesota brand. So I found Rip Academy. It's really close to my house and they have a whole gym aspect and trainer aspect. And I've been working with him and I don't think I've jumped or jumped and rotated as much. And I feel like I'm learning things there every day with some different movement, ball throws, things like that. But also I think definitely the legs, I'm glad you said twice a week. I guess I'm about, you know, three or four times probably a week, but it varies. I like,
well, and I'm sure what the two of us are doing in terms of how we incorporate that into our workouts is much different. Because
exactly,
mine's probably more leg volume on each of those days where yours is spread out. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that by any means. No. It's just what works into your schedule. That's a huge thing. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. I mean, even me personally, kind of working towards the standard schedule that I've been on. Yeah. It's just a process that you have to do trial and error with. Do you feel like you need a day to recover? Do you feel like you need a couple of days to recover? So finding that happy medium of where you can put enough work in and get enough volume from a strength workout perspective, but then also giving your body time to recover is super important.
100%. Everybody's body is different. And that's what we're saying here is, I mean, 2-3 times a week or more, depending on what you're doing, the movements you're doing. I like how you mentioned how it's, what is it? You said glutes and hamstrings one day and then quads another day. You're separating that. You're being specific with your intentions. And I think that's key as well, is being intentional with what you're doing with your body movements. I'd say, and I like how you said the volume too, because I've read studies and basically people like to alternate. They're like, oh, more reps is better. You'll get more toned without adding the bulk and things like that. No, no, no. Basically, you can do more reps or you can do a heavier weight, but it's all about going to muscle exhaustion. Okay. You got to exhaust the muscle however way you need to do it. And that's what you can do. So in some instances, I'm just doing reps. I'm doing more group fitness things. And then once I'm more intentional with my golf, that's when I'm going more volume led. So that's why I am doing more of it. I do have other side jobs. So the only reason why I do a little bit more of legs than anything, because that's something I like to work on with everyday mobility.
I think a big thing that a lot of people miss out on as well is you can't do the same thing over and over and over again and expect changes to happen. Yeah, it'll happen in the beginning when you begin the process, begin your routine, coming off of not being on that routine, but you have to adapt and keep changing the way that you go about your volume and your number of reps, because your body starts to adapt and you get stronger and faster by pushing it. And once you get to the point of being consistent with something or with a workout routine, you get there, you work through that for a little bit, but then it comes a point where it's time to flip a switch and change something up, because that's how you're going to get stronger and faster. Your body has to adapt.
100%. Did you ever do P90X, Janine?
I did not, no.
Okay. That's when you were saying that, I was thinking about, at one point I attempted P90X, okay? And this is where I transitioned to group fitness, because I need that accountability. So basically the saying is, for 30 days you do this type of workout, and then 30 days you're doing this type of workout, and then 30. So it's all about changing your body. Like you said, like, you're going to get to a plateau and then you're changing it to then go to the next level. And I thought that was really insightful with the program. I wish I would have stuck with it more. It did kick my butt. It really did.
And I can imagine.
I know a lot of movements that I still take away from it and that I do, but I think definitely it's, you got to change your body in different ways, because yeah. And if you're doing the same thing, you're going to get stuck, and we don't want that. We want you to keep growing in your strength so that you can utilize that in your golf swing and be able to hit farther. So I think legs, definitely hips. Oh gosh, turning of the hip. That's a good one. Really. And I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, as you get older, some hip issues, some back issues. So it's really good to really strengthen different ways with those in regards to those body areas. And then one thing that I actually, which we've talked about before, I didn't take into the fact the rotator cuff. I think that's our special secret sauce, if I'm being honest, is working that rotator cuff. Like, when you think of the golf swing, you're just swinging. I don't think about the rotator cuff at all. And then I talked with somebody who's been doing long drive for a while, and he's like, oh yeah, you should do some movements with the rotator cuff and everything. I'm like, huh, never thought about that. Interesting. So that's also been super helpful, because
I can't say anything, because it's one of those things that I recently discovered as well, working with Par for Success. I mean, truthfully, and they've helped me work through specific exercises to find that mobility, but I get it, because especially as a golfer who struggles to get an in-to-out swing that we were talking about in the last episode, you have to have that range of motion to be able to get there in the first place. So that's, it all translates for sure.
Yeah, it does. So I think there's always something to work on in that regard. So yeah, when I when I think about the rotator cuff, that's band work for me, or cable work, something like that. So that's where I'm coming from there. And when it comes to any like back or, you know, hip, you know, that's some band work. It's some, you know, rows, whether it be lat rows or, you know, using the machines. So there's
variety. Yeah, absolutely. And I think a huge thing, which is really important for anybody who either one starting out or two has been at it for a while, and you have to find a routine that you enjoy. That's huge, because I understand that somebody's not going to want to go in there and train like a bodybuilder and go to failure at everything, because none of us do. And it's not, it doesn't always translate to what your goals are. And I think finding that happy medium of, I know I'm going to be able to get the work in doing this specific routine, but I enjoy it. And also finding things to work towards. If you're competitive with yourself, make it a challenge. Say, I want to hit X goal by May 1st, or I want to break my personal record on this specific lift. Those are the best ways to go about it, because it keeps you competitive and keeps you finding that drive to be able to want to go to the gym and keep putting that work in, for sure.
I like that. I like goals. You know, I think of goals with, you know, the simple movements, or the bodybuilder movements, or the power lifters, I should say, actually, with the just deadlift, squat, and bench press. Those are the things I think of. And then you think of like, oh, this weight, I'm going to add more, I'm going to do more, I'm going to get there, which, you know, up until a certain point, I think it's more about moving heavy weights fast. That's what I would say is better for golfers. I don't think lifting just to do the one rep max, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's where I go in between. And I want to note, so also core is definitely important. Doing core movements, rotational, anti-rotational movements, that's definitely something that needs to be touched on.
I think people underestimate how much you use your core in your golf swing. Oh, yeah. Especially when you want your golf swing to be consistent and have a motion that you can replicate. Even me, in the last few months, I have definitely been way more conscious of using my core to try to keep that swing stable. And I mean, this is with my iron swing as well. I'm not just saying from a driver perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a six pack now, Janine? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
I wish.
One day that.
Yeah, maybe, I know, right?
Maybe not. You might need supplements for that if you get my drift. So, but no, and definitely. And I think one other thing is doing single leg movements. When you're thinking about the golf swing, you're shifting the weight. You know, I'm not going to say that doing single leg movements or single arm movements is the go-to, but I'm just saying, in addition to just your movements that you're doing, you're shifting that weight, you're putting all that weight on one leg. You should really work on those movements in that kind of scenario for your golf swing, because I think that's what's going to help you get to that next level as well.
Yeah. And I mean, you've, even in the last few conversations we've had, you've mentioned ground force a lot, and that's basically touching on it again, finding a way to push through the ground harder and faster will purely increase your clubhead speed, for sure.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to strengthen your body, make it more pliable, flexible, whatever word you like to use there with any of that, and we want to get you rotating quickly and rotating fast and still making great contact with the ball. And as you're doing these workouts, you're going to see your golf game kind of change, and you're going to have to adapt to it. So you got to go back to, as you're doing your strength and mobility, you got to go back to step number one and make sure that, okay, am I still hitting it in the center? So as your body's changing, your muscles are growing, you're being able to stretch more. How is that affecting your swing and how you contact the ball? So I think it Absolutely. All works together.
Yep. And one last thing that I'll mention kind of related to it is, even from a mobility perspective, when I started incorporating more of that into my everyday routine, it was unbelievable how different I felt from a recovery perspective. Mm-hmm. I will admit, the first couple of long drive events that we had last year, I would walk away from the grid at the end of the day, and a couple hours later, I would joke with my family and say, I feel like I have been hit by a truck. And it was true. But after I started adding that mobility work into my daily routine, it was unbelievable how quickly I recovered. And I felt so much better after a day of swinging hard and exerting a lot of effort with my golf swing. And I will swear by it to this day. It's crazy.
That's awesome. I love how you touched on that there. That's 100% being able to recover faster. Cause yeah, our bodies, the younger you are, the faster you can recover. But as you're getting older, you do have to think about that. So I love how mobility has helped with recovery. And I mean, I have to say yes to that as well. But then I also, it's when the big events happen, I feel like I still got to work on that. Okay. That's a work in progress for me.
Hey, it's a work in progress for everybody. We've all got to figure it out, and everybody's still experimenting. It's the truth of it. So
that's all we're doing. You got to experiment with what works best for your body. Don't take it from us. Okay. You got to talk to other people, talk to other professionals, test things out on your own. We're not the one all be all experts here. Okay. Everything is learning and growing. That's why I enjoy science in general, because you have a hypothesis, you have a thesis, you put it all together, and, you know, 10 years later, it can be proven wrong. Okay. That's the way it works. Okay. Everything changes. Nothing is stagnant, and you shouldn't be stagnant with your workout routine.
Yep, absolutely. And it's very individualized.
100%. Well, I think we had a good recap here of strength and mobility, gave a few good tips, and hopefully you have a great takeaway to go research for your swing. And if there's anything you have questions on, feel free to DM us at the Distance Factor Podcast.
Awesome. Yep, I agree. Great conversation. And hopefully at least my personal takeaway is, if there's anything that you should be doing right now, it's at least be striving towards adding strength and mobility into your routine every day, or at least most days of the week. And you will most definitely see an improvement in your game for sure.
Awesome. Great takeaway, Janine.
Well, thank you all. We're excited. We will touch on some swing speed training next. So kind of we'll give you a little bit of an insight into what our swing speed specific training looks like. And hopefully you guys will be able to benefit from that as well, just because adding that swing speed, like we've talked about before, is super valuable to your game. So
it is. And we don't do the same thing. I'll say that right off the bat. Janine and I are very different. So we'll have different things to talk about. There's always something different. But yeah, looking forward to it, Janine.
Thanks, everybody.